So you think you in love with me, but I'm not the girl of your dreams. Cause I've been rocking and dodging the beat of love. Baby, I'm not the one for you. I'm not in your own cause you know my truth. But I know just what to do for you. Cause when that drone's come down, eh, nah, 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 nah.
She a lie. Welcome. Welcome to My Sister Circle. Good evening. Good evening and welcome to My Sister Circle. I am your host, Dawana, and I am excited to be here on this Thursday. I'm excited that it's December. I'm excited that it is the Christmas season, holiday season. I'm excited to celebrate. I love, love, love December. I don't love snow. But I love the month of December. I love all the Christmas carols and the colors and things like that. So I'm excited that it's Christmas time, that it's the holiday time, that it is December. So are my hosts, 7 o'clock show, are my hosts available? Are they on? Okay.
Hey, hey.
Them beauties. Hi, Nee. Hey. So, hey, guys, Mama. If you guys have tuned in with us every Thursday since Miss Nee has been here, you know that Miss Nee is our lovely co-host in Atlanta, Georgia. Say hey, Nee.
What's good? Hey.
Talk a little louder, Nee. I think it's a little louder.
Can you hear me now?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
All right. Hey, y'all. You hear me now?
Okay. Hey, sister.
I was being shy.
Hey. Was you? Okay.
I was. Must be the holiday spirit.
So, everybody, welcome our guest, Ebony Davis. She is our guest here at the bottom of the screen. Hey, Ebony.
Hey, girl. Hey.
Good, girl.
So, excuse me. So, bless we you. Don't have O on the show today, but O, I'm sorry, guys. But O will be with us later on next week. She'll be with us on next week's show. And I think my mic is going in and out. So, hi, guys. How are you guys this week? So, Ebony, you are in a warm state right now. Nee, you're in a warm state right now. And I'm here in the cold.
Yeah.
Well, if there's any consolation, I'll be up there soon with you in the cold.
That's not. It doesn't make me feel good at all because you're in the warm weather. I still feel Charlie is in my ear and Charlie still feels disrespected. I feel attacked. And that's just the bottom line. I feel attacked. I mean, you guys are, I'm kidding. It's so warm and then he has the nerve to come on with a hat and a scarf as if she's cold.
I am. I'm anemic. Don't judge me or my attire.
First off, we got to wear hats, scarves, for real. It's winter out here. It didn't even give us a chance to get in the at the beginning of January before snow fell. It is cold. Oh, it is snow out here.
I heard it was snowing out there. I was like, really?
That sounds so bad.
Exactly.
It is the time to snow. I don't know why I'm acting like that.
See, and people say that, but then I'm just sitting here like, yeah, but, you know, we kind of get a break in December. You know, we get all of that snow in January. We kind of get a break in December, but so all right, this is how we got to be, though, for in December with snow. It's time for boots.
Yeah.
And I'm not happy.
That's all
happy.
I had on today.
We can tell.
I had on this little scarf and a little jacket, and I was like, oh, this is nice. And I'm still cold. I'm about to turn this heater on up in here.
Say what? What? Repeat that again. 1 second. Repeat that. You what?
I said, this is all I had on today. I had on my little scarf, had a little jean jacket on. I said, I'm still cold. I said, I'm about to turn this heater on up in here.
But she repeated the whole thing, though. Y'all see that? Y'all see she repeated the rhetorical. She repeated the entire thing. This is all I had on today. All I had on was this little sweater today.
That's it.
That's it.
It's hot.
We out here with skull caps on, winter hat. We out here with skull caps on, boots, coats, scarves, snowsuits. And you said this.
So, I don't want you to be in the fire by yourself. I didn't have to even wear a jacket today.
Where you at?
Florida.
Oh yeah.
It's Charlie said he about to end the whole show.
It's over with. Y'all ain't getting no, y'all ain't gonna get no snow.
Charlie
snow out there?
People beg for us to get snow down here.
Oh, that's now. I would. I'm not gonna be no hater now. I don't want you guys to get okay. snow.
You can come visit.
I, you know, thank you for the open invitation. Need give me an open invitation all the time. So, okay. So listen. So I just want to go on record and say that me, and Ebony have known each other for forever, like 20 plus years.
Yeah. Wow.
20 plus years.
It's been a while.
Me like and Ebony, well, y'all have known each other.
In the sixth grade.
See?
Yeah. Sixth grade. I came to Easter in the sixth grade. Yep.
What? That is what crazy. That is so battle. Amazing though. That is so amazing because it's not, it's so many people that does not, that doesn't get a chance to link up with people that they actually can say they grew up with. They don't, yeah. they don't get that yeah. chance. So I think it's so incredible every time we have somebody on the show that we can say we've known 20 plus years. Like that is yeah. so
it's
freaking dope to me.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a blessing for sure.
For sure. So guys, if you are tuned into My Sister Circle, what I want you guys to do first is I want you guys to like, share, and invite people onto this broadcast. Share it with groups. Do all of the things that you always do every time you tune into My Sister Circle. We are at the last month of this year in 2021, and I am excited that we are here in this last month and that we are getting ready to go into a new year. I know everybody is kind of like, some, you got some people that's dreading going into the new year because the new year, you don't know what to expect because of last year and the year before. But I'm honestly, right. you just don't know. And it's kind of, you know, it's a little bit, it's a little much, you know. But I am excited to go into 2022, not because, you know, it's a new year, new me. No, it's because God has graced us to go into 2022. And because I don't know what to expect, that's what makes me excited. Yeah. Like, I'm so serious because of the unexpected, but I know that God does unexpected huge things. Listen, I'm super excited when about the unexpected.
I'm excited too. I can't wait. I ain't gonna hold y'all up.
Let's I ain't gonna hold y'all you say up. You can't wait, huh?
Yeah. I'm yeah, for let's real. Get it. I'm on listen. Let's go.
Let's go.
Like this, I already know next year finna be popping.
See, and everybody didn't have a bad 2000. Everybody didn't have a bad 2021. Some people had an amazing 2021. Some people had some amazing life experiences in 2021 that you really are excited to go into 2021 and just live that part of the journey out. So, you know, so listen, thank you, Lord, for 2021. Yeah, and thank you, Lord,
thank you,
for
thank
what
you.
We are yeah. expecting, the big expectations that 2021 is going to hold. So, yes, hands clap, Charlie. Thank you, guys. So, it is Sister of the Week time. So, Ebony, usually our guests don't come on with us the entire time. So, you are super special because, you know.
We knew you from the crib.
You what? Hey. Say it again, me.
Hey. We know you from the crib.
Right. So, this is a reunion. So, you are part of the show right now, okay? The entire, yeah, you are hosting right. with us at this moment. So,
well,
I know this
I'm
is
honored.
A, not, I know this is what wasn't expected when I sent you out the invitation, but I appreciate you rolling with us like this.
Listen, we're going to rock to the end, okay?
We're going to rock it out, okay? Go. So, the first thing we always do on Sister Circle is we acknowledge a Sister of the Week. And this month for December, we chose to acknowledge our family. We usually typically don't acknowledge, we try not to choose our Sister of the Week, a family member as our Sister of the Week, just because, you know, we want to acknowledge people that we don't know or people that, you know, are we're not familiar with. But it was only fitting for the month of December to acknowledge family. So we wanted to shine some light on Sister of the Week that was a part of special to us. And so this Sister of the Week was chosen. Honestly, she's my aunt, but I didn't choose her. And it's so incredible because I, you know, when people make an impact on you, it doesn't matter what age you are. A person can make that type of impact on anybody in any age range. And so I asked my 9-year-old daughter, okay, I said, I need help picking a sister of the week. It's my turn. And here we go. And, you know, so I'm going through all these motions. And Jasmine said, I choose Auntie Trell. And I said, aww. Really? Here's the backstory about that, okay? It's an awe moment. Sweet. Give an awe moment. But here's the backstory on that. Auntie Trell is rough around the edges. So I always be like, the kids really love her, but, and she the rough one. She the one that don't play no games. She the one that's real stern. She the one that she say it once and you better react. You better respond the way you supposed to respond. So it's always like a shock to me when these kids say, I want to go to Auntie Tro house. Auntie Tro don't have no young kids, none of that. And they be like, we want to go to Auntie Tro and Uncle Reggie house. Hi, Charlie.
Charlie,
I love that. Look at you popping
the
in.
Infamous.
What are you doing popping in, Charlie?
I just thought maybe you needed a male representative just one time.
Just one time? Well, listen here, Charlie. Well, we love to see you then. So you stay on here because you just came up.
Hey, Charlie.
Hi, ladies.
Charlie. Hey. So
look, your guest is like, who is the white dude?
Listen, I know all about Charlie.
You know all about Charlie, don't you?
Okay.
Everybody know about our Charlie, okay?
That's funny.
Everybody know about our Charlie. So Jasmine is who chose Sister of the Week. So our Sister of the Week is none other than my aunt, Troshana Hall. Yay!
Hey, Tro.
Yay!
Sorry, I was trying to find that hand clap.
So, Auntie Tro, let me tell you, guys. Listen, my aunt is my second mother. My aunt raised me. I went and stayed with my grandparents in high school, at the beginning of high school, and my aunt is who raised me all the way from teen years on up to adulthood. And when I say that her and our relationship is so freaking dope, it's so amazing, it's near dear to my heart, because not only, I'm not going to say we close in age because it used to seem like we was close in age, but now that I'm super younger than her and she getting up there, that's okay. She'll see the show later. You know, I'm in the clear, so. You know, I'm good. But no, listen.
Got like 2 more seconds in the clear.
But listen. She's honestly one of my best friends. And we talk about everything. She's literally everything to me, honestly. Our relationship, it has grown over the years, but it has grown in a way that she respects me as an adult at this point in my life, but she's the way that she's proud of me. And you know, like I said, Auntie Tro is kind of rough around the edges, so she kind of hardcore. You know, that's where I get it from. When I be like, I'm a thug crying, you know, nah, that's where I get that from. But honestly, her genuine spirit, her giving spirit, the way that she loves her family, the way that she loves on her son and her grandson and her husband and things. I mean, I'm so happy and so proud of the woman that she is. I'm blessed to be able to call her my aunt. And I thank God that my children now get to see and experience the same woman that I experienced growing up. Because although she's rough around the edges, I knew that genuine side that she had when we were alone in private and things like that. And my kids see it. And it's not that she show it to them, but they can sense that genuine spirit that she has, that loving spirit that she has, that I'm gonna go hard for you spirit that she has for her family, people that she loves. So that was a good choice, Jasmine. And I'm happy that you know, I still have my best friend here on this earth, like, and that she's mine. So, cause she know, and y'all know my aunt, right? Both, I mean, y'all.
Okay, y'all yes, so. I know.
Come on, y'all know Auntie
Yes,
so.
I do know. I do know.
Yeah.
So,
shoot. Round the corner, I used to be over there.
Come on,
my house like it was my house.
You see, round Auntie Troll. Auntie Troll was that aunt, okay? She was that aunt. Mm-hmm. So yeah, so definitely hats off to Auntie Troll for being our sister of the week. All right, so Nee, how was your week?
My week, I was out of town. Then I came back in town, and then I had a show. Oh, I had a show yesterday or the day before yesterday, whichever day. It was really cool. Mm-hmm. It was really dope.
Saturday, right? Or was it Sunday?
Saturday. No, yep. It was Saturday. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Saturday. Yo, the hospitality was on point, and it was the House of Poetry, mm-hmm. and it was just a really dope event. We came in, treated us good, took us to grab, you know, where the food was, where the other, whatever you want is. And it was like, okay, girl, I can get used to this, girl. And it was just really nice. It was really, really nice.
Was this your first time at this event?
Yes, it was okay. My first time at the House of Poetry. And it was really cool. It was, the atmosphere was cool. And it wasn't like a regular, like, poetry event. It was like, they had a DJ that kind of mixed it up a little bit, you know, artists ago, and they had mixed up some, you know, music in it, and it was just really cool. I had a great time. I was like, oh, yeah, so I was trying to see when because I was like, it was a headliner, and then it was like, the headliner, and then it was me, and then it was like, you know, other poets that was going, so I had like a 10-minute set.
Oh, good. And I was, you know,
because I just got from out of town, girl. I was like, yeah, so where I met on this? She was like, oh, you're down at the bottom. Enjoy your night. I was like, okay. And I did. I really enjoyed my night. She was basically like, go ahead, girl. Make yourself comfortable. Mm-hmm. Whatever you're going to do. And it was just really cool. It was cool.
Is there now? I know I seen your stories and things like that, and I got to tell you how proud I am of just seeing your stage presence and always seeing you on the stage. That honestly makes me proud that you're doing exactly what you're passionate about. I love seeing you in your element, definitely rocking the stage out. So what I need to know is, how can I purchase the footage?
You don't need to purchase it. They sent me some.
Okay. Because I'm like,
they sent me some clips.
No, I want the whole thing.
But where do we get clips?
I got some clips. I can send them to you. Okay. they sent me the clips, so I can just text them to you. But yeah, so it's like, I don't have a full. I didn't get a video of a full show, but it's just clips.
Okay, well, do me if you can find out where we could get that full video of you, and of course they're not gonna just send you, so just tell me how I can get the whole thing, so even if we have to purchase it, so we can have that, if that's okay.
Okay.
When you get a chance.
I'll let them know I asked them.
Okay, when you get a chance. So, Ebony, you up. So, Ebony is our woman in business on this show today. You guys know, for the month of December, we chose to highlight our guests, our woman in business guests, and actually not do a topic and just allow the show to completely be about them, so that they can promote and tell us about their business and things like that. So, you know, when Ebony was chosen for this particular segment, Woman in Business, to me it was important to, you know, we always have women in business. Charlie, you could take her off the screen for a second. We always have women in business that are promoting and promoting things, selling things, and have product and things like that. But this is when she tells you about her business and tells you what she does for the community. This is, you're going to understand why she had to be chosen for Women in Business, because it's not always about you having an actual physical product that you sell, but what you bring to the community. And what she brings to the community is so amazing. amazing to me. So I was like, yes, definitely a woman in business. So Ebony, tell us about yourself.
Okay. So what an introduction. You're trying to make me emotional before I get started.
Uh-oh. You're for the crowd.
Look at and need like do it, do it,
not
do
no
it.
More.
Look,
not
All right.
So my name is Ebony Davis. I'm a family nurse practitioner by education. I was born and raised in Detroit, grew up in Inkster. Like we were discussing, I met Dawana and Nee in the sixth grade, so I was roughly 12 at that time.
Nah, you met me in the ninth grade. Let's not, don't try to make me.
Let's not do that. Not do that.
All right, let's go
I
back.
Knew of you.
Okay.
You talking about let's go back? Right.
In the sixth grade.
Let's rewind. So I'm sorry, Ebony.
In the sixth grade. It's okay. It's okay. It's all right. So I came to Inkster in the sixth grade, matriculated through middle school, like the tail end of sixth grade. And so matriculated through middle school and high school in Inkster. So I'm a family nurse practitioner. My business is actually my own primary care clinic. It's called the Essence of Life Healthcare. And I started this for two very important reasons. So shortly after I started, or shortly after I came to Inkster in the sixth grade, my older brother passed away in his sleep from a brain aneurysm. And so what I learned at that time is that the way things occurred, if he would have had an advocate for him or somebody to speak up for him, that perhaps the outcome wouldn't have been what it was. So he went to the hospital, he went to the ER, complained of having the worst headache or migraine that he ever experienced. And instead of them doing imaging and proper testing, they just gave him a prescription for Motrin, sent him home. He died in his sleep exactly 1 week later. And so I vowed at that time at Baylor Woodson, okay?
in middle school.
Correct. That I was going to be a doctor. And that as my patients, I wouldn't let suffer the way my brother did at the time. Mm. So that was like my initial catalyst for wanting to become a part of the healthcare field. And so fast forward, that was in 98. Fast forward to 10 years later, I gave birth to my daughter, who I found out at like even before she was born, I found out that she was going to have sickle cell disease. And so, of course, I'm already on the track. Like at this time, scientists, I'm not going to lie, y'all, was kicking my tail. So I was like, doctor. Maybe not so much. Like maybe I should do nursing or something different. So at that point, I still knew that I wanted to do healthcare. But once I found out my daughter was going to have sickle cell, that like fueled me even more. Right. Like, so I'm like, sickle cell, unfortunately, is commonly known to be a Black disease. And so there's a lot of healthcare disparities in terms of how our community is treated when it comes to sickle cell disease. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of healthcare disparities, period, when it comes to the African-American population. So as I was matriculating through nursing school, having a new child with a chronic illness, God just kind of opened my eyes to things that were a disparity, but that I was called to help bridge that gap for. So within the inner city of, I probably can't say the hospital, but it's an inner city hospital in Detroit. I became a nurse within the ER. And that's the same hospital that turned my brother away when he had his brain aneurysm.
Really?
And I vowed, y'all, like, I would never let another patient suffer the way my brother did. Like, if you come in and you have a complaint, to me, it was my personal vendetta to avenge my brother to make sure that nobody left that hospital without their complaints being honored and taken seriously. Sometimes that meant I fought with doctors, residents, other nurses, whatever it was, I was there for it all. So then as I matriculate through life, I'm trying to figure out what is it that I can do that will give me more autonomy and help me be the source that so many of our people need. And so that was the reason I opened up my own primary care clinic, because a lot of things can be stopped and negated if you have a good primary care provider that can walk you through the healthcare system. And what I found out when I was working in the ER is a lot of us don't have that. Mm-hmm. A lot of us don't have people taking the time to explain different diseases to us. They don't have people taking the time to explain why it's important that we take these particular medications. Sometimes we don't even have providers that will take enough time to see why we're not taking it. Like maybe I'm prescribing this blood pressure medication for somebody, but maybe they can't afford it. Did I, as a provider, try to check out if there's any resources for them to be able to afford this medication. So far too often, what I noticed is that we're labeled as non-compliant and not adherent, but no one does the due diligence to figure out why. And so I vowed that when I continued my education, continued my degrees, that I would take it to the limit to be able to be that advocate for somebody. And so that's why I opened up my own primary care clinic, so that I could be that bridge between the ER, the admissions, and hopefully keep you out of there, right? If I can.
Right.
By educating you, prescribing the medications. And even if you don't believe in traditional medications, whatever your holistic approach is, whatever your natural, you know, supplements are, educating you on it. Because I know far too often, especially with our in our community, people don't want to take a bunch of pills. So what is it that I can do as a provider that I can educate you and walk you through it, but meet you where you're at? A big problem is providers are so busy and going that they won't meet us where we're at. They don't even have the time to. And so that was the reason I created my own primary care clinic.
Wow. Who knew?
Ain't that so incredible?
Girl, I'm so proud of you, girl.
Thank you. I'm telling you, it's a blessing. If I could just kind of take you through my journey. I remember I relocated to Florida because I had a job offer to work specifically in the sickle cell community, right? So in the adult sickle cell community, because when we talk about disparities, there's a huge disparity in between the way pediatric patients with sickle cell disease are treated and adult patients, right? So when you're a kid and you go to the ER and you have pain, everybody is moving. They're trying to get to what they can do, how they can help you, how they can control that pain, how they can get you out of pain. Now, for some reason, from 0 years to 18 years, you have that type of care. You have people taking you seriously. You have them trying to figure out what's the source of your pain, however amount of drugs they can give you to get you out of their pain, they do. But what I noticed in the ER, in the adult ER, is once they hit that adulthood past 18, now they're labeled drug seekers. But their disease isn't any different than what it was when they were a child. Really?
Drug seekers.
Yes.
Oh my God.
But the reason is because they look like us. That's the reason. So once I started, like literally y'all in the ER, started having to have conversations with residents and fellows. Like, listen, when I take my daughter to the ER who has sickle cell and her hemoglobin is this low, or she has a fever or a sign of infection, this is what they do to control it. So I'm really not sure that just because they're adult, why these things are not happening. Mm-hmm. You get what I mean? Right. Like in the ER, they're underdosed. They are not given the proper pain medication. And unfortunately, what that has translated to is that people from 16 to like roughly 26 years of age, we are losing them because they would rather suffer at home in pain than to go to the ER or to the healthcare systems and suffer the stigma. Mm-hmm. Correct. So they go home, they stay home, they're having things like chest pains that are actual heart attacks. They have headaches that are actually strokes. So there's a huge, huge disparity. And so that was, like I said, the event with my brother and his passing, the birth of my child, and just by nature, investigating her disease process and how it's treated across the lifespan and physically seeing that in the ER myself, I was like, oh no, something has to be done. So I relocated to Florida, started working with the adult patient population as it pertains to sickle cell, and still noticed that there was a huge, vast difference in treatment. And God put it on my heart before I even went back to school to be an NP that my calling was to either start my own clinic or be a part of a standalone clinic to help bridge the gap within the community. And so, Dwana, I have to sing you my, say it again.
You say it was the NP. I'm sorry, I'm slow when it comes
nurse
to
practitioner.
These terms.
That is
you said nurse NP. Practitioner. I thought you said M. I'm what's an M?
MP. I'm sorry. Nurse practitioner.
Okay, cool.
So back in 2012, my essay to even get into the nurse practitioner program stated all of these things. Dwana, I'm going to email that to you. Okay. That's just a testament of how God divinely ordered my steps. Wow. So I get down here. I start working for a particular organization. I'm kind of seeing things are not as if I would have them. Like, it's a good organization, but they're not as good of a resource for patients, if I'll just put it like that without digging up dirt and anything like that. So fast forward, I was praying one day and I was like, God, I know what you called me to do. I know what you called me to do. But in a lot of the different states with nurse practitioners, you can't open up your own organization without having a doctor oversee you. And so I had tried different avenues, from the doctor that I first started working with to another doctor from my urgent care. And it just, their vibe just did not sit right with what I know for certain I was called to do. Mm-hmm. And so I just kept saying, like, God, listen, you told me that this is what I was supposed to do. But the way these ducks lining up, I'm not quite sure if this is what's supposed to happen. So literally in March, I said, God, if this is something that you're going to have me do, you're going to have to provide the way. You're going to have to make it abundantly clear that this is what I'm supposed to do. This happened at the beginning of March. At the end of March, Florida passed legislation that nurse practitioners with primary care, internal medicine, and women's health no longer needed doctor oversight.
Oh my goodness.
Wow. That was my green light.
Okay. Okay.
What? That at the beginning of March to the end of March.
Wow. Yep. And they didn't actually pass the legislation on paper till October. But from March to October, I'm researching, okay, what licensures do I need? What permits do I need? What do I need to have in place? What type of equipment do I need? And all of this has been fueled only by my own income. And so, but the way God has opened those doors and just literally put the right people, the right resources and things in my path, I would be a fool not to see it through.
Come on.
So that's where I'm at.
What?
And I will take my last breath fighting for our community, advocating for our community, and making sure that we have as a better access to equality in care in healthcare. That's my life mission.
Bro. So how long has it been since Essence of Life has been open? Because honestly, that's the only interview question that you that I have to ask you, because everything else you've answered. What motivates you? Because I knew about the business, and I knew about Essence and Sickle Cell and things like that. But to hear it all be brought together the way that it was brought together, and to see that not only are you fulfilling your assignment, but Essence is even a part of her own assignment on even having Sickle Cell, that the bigger picture of that, her having it, is what is a part of your assignment. So y'all assignments are going hand in hand. And indeed. I'm just amazed by how it's all has came together. And even you said that this was from sixth grade, where you vowed, you made a commitment when you were in sixth grade that this is what you were gonna do, and you've been seeing it through all this time, and then got pregnant with your daughter, who they told you now she has sickle cell, so now you have to be an advocate for her as well. I'm amazed.
Yeah, I'm telling you, it was all divine alignment, right? I couldn't, and even when I was pregnant, so one thing I'll say is, another thing that I advocate for is knowing your trait status, right? Because when I was pregnant, I didn't know that I had sickle cell trait. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of us are walking around with the sickle cell trait, which is a carrier state of sickle cell, and we don't know it. And we don't know that when we procreate with someone else that has sickle cell trait, you have the probability of having a child with sickle cell disease. Mm-hmm. I was 22 when I got pregnant with Essence. And I didn't know I had sickle cell trait until I was bit by a spider. My primary care doctor drew some, like, she gave me antibiotics, but she drew some lab work. And like 2 weeks later, she says, you didn't tell me you had sickle cell trait. And I'm like, what's that? I'm 22 in nursing school, trying to start nursing school, and had no idea about sickle cell trait. And so she told me, you know, it's fine for you, but if you have a child, you want to be sure that whoever you have a child with does not have sickle cell trait. I said, well, that's ironic, because I just found out I was pregnant a week ago.
Wow.
So there's that.
Wow.
So I did genetic testing, found out she was gonna, you know, have sickle cell. So I did a lot of, you know, different research to kind of get myself familiar with it, get acclimated with it. I took the first year off of nursing school because I wanted to dedicate that first year of her life of learning her and learning what her triggers were and learning what, as a single mom, what I needed to pay attention to, right? But I'm telling you, so it's like, in addition to that, that was, it just fueled, like, I feel like God knew what he was doing when he blessed me with her. Because even at the age of 13, she is a huge advocate for sickle cell. She'll tell somebody what sickle cell is in a minute. She will educate in a minute. She talked to her teachers. She's like, no, I need to hydrate. I need to take this medication. I need to rest here. And at 13, it's, you know, in 13, what was we doing at age 13?
Come on.
Not educating about healthcare. Exactly.
And what the 13-year-olds is doing now, they TikToking. So she out here advocating.
Right. And she's opening doors that she doesn't even realize that she's opening. And she's starting conversations that she doesn't even realize that she's starting. You get what I mean? So it's, I wouldn't take it back to save my life, because I feel like God ordained all of this to happen in perfect alignment the way that he did.
I was even going to go further. Even with your brother, and it's kind of like, it's like when you see the reason for something, it still hurt, but then it could be like, okay, I feel you, I get it now, you know what I'm saying? It's like, that's that right there, like you said, perfect alignment. Definitely
prime example of God turning your pain into purpose, right? That's exactly what happened.
Exactly
what happened in both situations.
And nobody, typically people don't like to talk about it in that way, that that how God does everything with purpose. And typically people don't like to even look at it that way, because you're still in pain, you're still hurting, and you don't want to look at that it's a bigger purpose. And it is hard. It does hurt. But honestly, I'm amazed of how this has aligned. I promise you, because to hear it all this way, with you putting it together, you know bits and pieces, but to hear it put together,
it's a testimony.
It's definitely a testimony, and I'm so glad. You know, when I told Ebony, can I share this part, Ebony?
Yeah.
Okay. So when I told Ebony that, you know, I asked her to come on and everything, and her initial reaction was, I don't have a product, or I don't sell anything. What am I going to promote? And I'm like, the fact that you got a clinic, that's promotion. You have a clinic. It's yours. You advocate for people in your community. You top the line of women in business. Okay.
I think that, not even think, I know that that was the enemy talking me out of it. Remember, my initial response to you was yes. And yes, I said to you, say yes before I talk myself out of it.
Right.
And then I started thinking, and I'm like, but I don't have products. Like, what am I going, what am I going to say? You were like, man.
Educating people, because when people see this show, you know, what's one of the things that they're going to do? They're going to check their personality traits. They're going to check their traits to see if their children or anything like that, if they have it before they, you know. So you're educating, and then you're teaching people how to be an advocate and go different routes in advocating for, you know, and doing the research and all of those things. So I think that, you know, your business and, you know, your clinic and what you are doing speaks for itself, because everything that you're doing is what we talk about every week. That's what we talk about every week, honestly, you know. And then the fact that, you know, you honestly did the work. You did the work. So
you're trying to make me emotional, sis.
I'm a bit emotional myself, because I'm just so, like Nee said, I'm just so proud of you. I'm just so proud of you for pushing.
All jokes aside.
For real, pushing forward. You know, you're African American woman with a child
from the high.
You see what I'm saying? from Inkster.
I'm just saying, bro.
From Ink, all the things that is said about Inkster, but look what you've become. Look what you've become.
Yeah.
Look what you studied. Look how far you went the distance for other people. Yeah. It's not for you. It's for other people.
No. Wow.
That you're, and then you just said the most selfless thing. You said, I'll do this until my last breath. You didn't say until I'm tired. You didn't say until when it gets harder, because hey, we all know them bumps come, and you just be like about to throw something. You just be through, but you kept going.
I had to learn a long time ago that if you truly walking in purpose and you truly walking in your destiny, number one, it's always attached to somebody greater than you.
Come on.
And number two, you have to die to your own feelings. There are plenty of days I don't feel like getting up, taking a patient phone call, but they need me to advocate because they're not getting the right treatment, right? So it's like, oh, it's like 2:30, y'all. It's 2:30 in the morning, but God be right on my shoulder like, hey, what I tell you to do? Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. I'm getting up right now. No fights. So I think if I had to give one lesson to anybody out there, is that it's so much bigger than you when you walk in your purpose. Mm-hmm. And you have to, it's a process to learn how to die to your own personal feelings to walk out that purpose and to walk out your destiny.
I'm glad you even said that part. That just blessed
me. Yo,
that blessed me.
Talking to me.
Listen, that blessed me. Because no, it's many a days where I just be like, pull the cord. I'm done. It's many a day. But we've had private conversations, Ebony. We've honestly had private conversations, guys, where, you know, we've talked about some definitely some hard obstacles and some adversity that, you know, that we thought was going to take us out, Ebony. So I definitely know for real that was going to, like, end us, try to destroy us. And just to see that you pushed through all of that, you know, I'm just saying, I'm proud of you. I celebrate you. I honor you because, you know, you doing it for, I'm amazed. So.
Thank you. I thank you for allowing me the opportunity to verbalize it and put it out there, because you, like, with me being me, I'm completely fine flying under the radar, sis.
We know.
Completely.
We know. Be super.
So
but just what you just said. Now listen to how awesome and how dynamic what you just said. You stay low. You stay low.
Humble.
And when we stay low, we the attacks is minimal compared to when we ain't humble and we not low. So because you stay under the radar and because you do it for only what he told you to do, for his purpose, for just to please him, just to advocate for other people, because you stay low and do it because of that reason, that's why you are the way that it's your blessings are being manifested even out loud in public. That's why you seeing what you and I know we go through stuff and it just be like, oh my gosh, well, you know, God, I'm doing everything that you told me to do because I struggle. I have the same conversation with God all the time. God, I'm doing everything you told me to do. Why does it hurt so bad in some areas, though? Why do I have to go through this warfare in some areas? Like, I'm doing everything that this is my purpose and I'm doing it. But why? But to see the manifestation, to see the fruits just be like, blooming, it's just like
it's an invaluable reward,
man. Tell me about it.
My bad. You know, a lot of times I was just gonna say about we be like, you know, what did I do? Like, why am I going through this? Why, you know, I'm doing what you said, I'm doing what you've asked of me. But a lot of times we don't we don't recognize what we're asking for.
Right.
You know, we've prayed some prayers and we've asked for things. So we don't know who needs to come in and trigger us allow us to become that person. We don't know what has to come in trigger us to allow us to become who we've been praying to be or what we've been asking for. So a lot of times we feel like we're under attack, but we're never under attack. We're always here to learn. We're always here to become better. We're here to become like our higher selves, our greater selves, you know. So it's like when I hear, you know, a text, or when I hear, you know, like, what did I do? I always understand that nothing on this earth is happening without a purpose. Nothing in our life is happening for no reason. There are no coincidences. That's just another way to rob God of the glory, you know. But it's another, yeah. It's everything is in alignment to who you are, to who you're trying to be, what you're putting out, what you're trying to get. And we don't have to be bad that you're putting out if you're getting bad in. Sometimes you need a shift and a change to, you know, shake you up and twist you to go the way you need to go.
That's right.
Yeah, for sure. So, sometimes that even make you cautious about what you pray for. Like, Lord, please give me patience. Agree. And then somebody will come and they like, you're like, wait, maybe I didn't want patience. Maybe I didn't.
Girl, for real, going 2 miles in front of you. And you like, pop, pop. I thought you was asking for patience, though. You just asked me for patience.
Correct.
I'm going to show you how. I'm about to teach you how to have it.
How to get that, right?
Come on. I honestly just had this conversation with my apostle yesterday, and I told her, I said, you know, I told God, I said, I was praying, Mother, and I told God, okay, I'm ready for that next business that you was telling me about. Okay, I'm ready, Lord. I said, Mother, and I hurried up and said, Lord, I'm not ready. Take it back. Do over. Just take that back out the atmosphere. Because I know what that business entail, and I'm not just yet. So you do have to really be cautious in what you praying for, because I know what that entails. And baby, I done been through some stuff to know that you got to watch what you got to be ready. You got to watch
what
you.
This is the creator. This is to help co-create.
Come on.
Feel with you when you speaking it out. Don't write it down now,
man. Oh. Listen, you speak it out. You speak it out. You better go ahead and go. If you speak it out, you better be able to be ready to move forward on it.
Like in a second. Though. Next second.
What? Next second.
Not even blink.
So I'm sitting there like, no, Lord, please, no. Pull it. No, I'm not ready.
Right. I know that's a little off topic, but not really. But that make me think about the conversation that I was having the other day. It was saying we need to be very careful how we talk and speak over ourselves as well. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You like, oh man, I'm so stupid, so crazy. Like
your words are power,
and they really do create. Like, yes. So you have to plant seeds of gentleness, of beauty, of love, of whatever you need inside of you. That's so right. Even when you say it, go ahead, right back around. Turn it back around and say something positive.
That's right.
We're running out of time.
We done.
All right, peace. All right.
So, Ebony, we have one more question for you before we end real quick, because we are running out of time. We've ran out of time.
I already knew.
So, when you hear the phrase, there's no competition in sisterhood, what do you get from that?
Just bringing people or your fellow sisters along with you, right? Like, there's so much knowledge out here. There's so much wisdom to be gained. There's so much opportunity that it's completely selfish to think that only you deserve to be the recipient of that. Mm-hmm. And so even when I'm teaching, like, as I walk through my journey of being a family nurse practitioner, when I have students, like, sometimes the healthcare world gets the stigma of nurses eat their young. I'm the complete opposite. Like, what you want to learn? You want exposure to this? You want me to show you how to do this? You want me to show you how to do that? Let me show you how to start this IV in somebody's toe, nevertheless, if I need to. But I think that we have our gifts are so big that there is plenty to go around and plenty to share. And so I just feel like you're being completely selfish if you don't reach back and pull somebody with you. Again, your destiny is always bigger than you, and how do you spread that destiny and spread your purpose without bringing sisters along with you?
I agree. Well, Nee, do you got one last thing to say before we close out?
No. Put your inbox me your info.
Man, or dope, just, ain't it?
Yeah, inbox me, oh, Ebony, okay, your info, because I'm quite sure you do like different events and different stuff. So I would love to come out.
Yeah, I do healthcare. Whatever. Event.
Yes.
Oh,
and Nia, you Nia traveler too. So
right,
I was gonna say I do house calls too.
No, I'm saying Nia travel to you and come network and get you. Come on, have an event. That's Nia Lane.
What I'm saying is, I deliver house calls too. So if you know somebody in the Georgia area that needs some health care, I do telemedicine and I do house calls.
Come on,
so I can make it work.
Oh, okay. Look. Oh yeah.
I love this.
Period. That's what I said.
I love it.
Go ahead and exchange info for real, because we'll talk.
Okay.
Well, Ebony, we are so grateful that you came on and graced us with your presence and educated us on things that we didn't know, you know, and things that our audience, that our viewers needed to know, because these are things that you need to know for African Americans in the community, things like that. And just to come on and let us know that it is possible for our sister, another sister, fellow sisters, to even do something that you've done and start a clinic. You have a clinic. I'm just so amazed that you have a actual clinic that is yours, right? And you are the overseer of it. So the sky is the limit, and people, you guys, if you stay in alignment and be obedient with what you are supposed to, huh? Okay. So we're gonna end.
What's that?
All right, Charlie, you can end our show.
What's that?
Charlie.
What's that?
Charlie. End our show. All right. Amen.
Okay. What is that?
Have a good evening.
Come back in there. Come back in.
Have a good evening.
Girl, who is that?